that we are with him. And when we are with him, he will give us victory and he'll trample down our enemies. Whatever opposes your soul this morning, whether it's sickness or fear or worry, anxiety, or you have problems in your life, the Bible says that God will trample them down. He'll run them over. They're no opponent for our God. Amen? Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his word. He is so good. Well, this morning we're going to continue worshiping the Lord with the giving of our tithes and offerings. If you need an envelope for your giving, you can raise your hand and usher would be happy to give you one. I want to give you a quick update on our parking lot situation. We are, as many of you know, that we were going to the town to get approval for our parking lot, and they certainly have made some adjustments to our plans. So, unfortunately, it has increased the cost. You know, we have just about the $40,000, so I want to just lift up our hands and thank God for that. You know, you have been generous, you've been faithful in your giving, and God has just supernaturally supplied that, you know, in conjunction with our remortgage and those types of things. God has just supernaturally supplied. We're probably going to have to wait till the early spring to do our parking lot just because of timing, and we still need about another $15,000 because of some of the adjustments that we've done with the town. So, but we just know that God's going to supply that as well. And we thank you for your giving. And if you'd like to continue to contribute to the parking lot fund, you can mark your envelope parking lot. We'll make sure that it goes to that fund. And we're just trusting the Lord that he's going to supernaturally supply our needs. Amen? Psalm 115, I'd like to read to you today. Psalm 115, and in verse 11, it says, good will come to him who is generous and to him who lends freely. I need some light here. There we go. Can you turn the house lights up a little bit? Thank you. Thank you. All right. There we go. Thank you. I think I need my glasses. It says, who conducts his affairs with justice, surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news, and his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. You know, God is always looking out for your best interest, and God wants to bless your life. He wants to cause increase in your life. And we thank God for his abundant blessings in our life. And the Bible says, it's as we give, so shall we receive. And I encourage you this morning, if you have a need in your life, maybe you have a financial need in your life, you know, it doesn't make sense with our natural mind to give, but the Bible says that if you'll give, God will give back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And you need to prove the Lord in this, the Bible says. You know, as you give, you open up the windows of heaven and they'll pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to contain. So let's just take a moment this morning and pray over our offering and our tithe. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to sow into good ground. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word says to give. And Father, we give it today with a glad and cheerful heart. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open and they're pouring out a blessing. There's not room enough to contain. And Father, your word says that you rebuke the devourer on our behalf. And we thank you, Lord, that you supply every need this morning. We call your people blessed. We call every need met this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going over the top. Lord, that we gain the victory when we walk with you. And we thank you, Lord, that your blessings are upon our life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Make sure you smile when you put it in. God loves a cheerful giver. That's right. Glory to God. Well, a couple announcements while they're taking up the offering. Today there is a hospitality meeting in the fellowship hall right after service. If you would like to be a part of the hospitality ministry, maybe you don't know what that is, but Second Sunday fellowships, if you're interested in helping out with any type of food or hospitality, if you're currently involved or you'd like to be involved, we invite you to come to the meeting today after service in the fellowship hall with Dorinda. Also coming up is our Thanksgiving dinner. It's not too far away, so we're going to be talking more about that, but be sure to save the date that's coming up. What's the date? Sunday the 17th, November 17th. Also, Carrie and I would like to thank everybody, especially last week during Pastor's Appreciation. You blessed us with not only a financial gift, but you blessed us with many notes and cards and words of kindness that really touched us. And so we thank you. It's truly meaningful to us. So thank you on behalf of our family. How many of you noticed that we were missing a few signs this morning? The sign on the, maybe you didn't notice, you were falling asleep. We're in the process of redoing our church signs, so we've taken a few of them down and we'll be putting a few back up, and we're kind of redoing all the parking lot signs and things just to give them a fresh look and change them up. So be watching. All right, at this time we're going to dismiss our youth and our children to go to their service. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This past week, we've had our son home from college. It's good to have him home. And it's been a good week. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd like you to open up to the book of Matthew. The 28th chapter. And before we do that, today I'm going to be talking about I know we've mentioned it before, our Harvest Pie Project. You know, we were getting ready to prepare for our annual Thanksgiving. At Thanksgiving time, we often do an outreach. We've done Thanksgiving baskets, and we've done a number of different things over the years. And this year, we were getting ready to do that, and I just asked the Lord, is there something more that we could be doing? And God gave me this idea, and I want to share it with you. You know, I believe that God wants us to be involved in winning the lost for Him. And I really believe that this project that I'm going to tell you about, God just gave me this idea that you could personally be involved in winning the lost this holiday season. I believe that every person can reach somebody. And I believe that's the heart of God, that we all reach out and touch someone's life. And so we've come up with this Harvest Pie Project. And what it is, basically, is we're going to be committing to one person, or maybe one family, or one individual, or maybe you have a couple people on your heart. It's an opportunity to reach out and to really invest in this one person. You know, sometimes we talk about evangelism. We say, well, you know, maybe we have to go door to door or hand out tracts, or we pray for the harvest or the lost, and it seems very large and very overwhelming and very general. But I believe that if we all do our part individually, what an impact we can make globally. And so I want you to close your eyes this morning and think of someone in your life who doesn't know the Lord, or someone in your life who needs a touch from God. Maybe it's someone that once fellowshipped in a church, or maybe was walking with the Lord at one time and is no longer serving the Lord, or someone that doesn't know the Lord at all. I have a little video that we prepared. I'm going to show you that. Adam, can you roll that? I think the message is clear. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. And we're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be the answer. And so this morning, as you see things like that and as you're thinking about it, is there someone in your life that needs the gospel? Is there someone in your world that could receive a fresh touch from God? How many of you like Thai? It's just me, right? You know, I thought, you know, sometimes it's the simple things that can really touch lives. You know, as we get ready to celebrate the holidays, you know, we're going to be doing this right before Thanksgiving. Who wouldn't like to receive a pie? You know, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be purchasing like a Wegmans gift card for maybe $15 and then a pie, and we're going to wrap it up as a gift. And then we're going to have everybody write a personal note on this gift. You can write it with your own handwriting to the person you are going to give it to. And during this time, we're going to be praying for this person. Can the ushers hand out those books for me? We prepared a special book for you to begin to pray for someone in your life. My heart is that you take this evangelism project and make it personal. It's not just praying for the lost. It's not just, you know, Lord, get people saved, bring in the harvest. That's good to pray, but is there someone specific that you can pray for? Someone specific that you can reach out to? Someone specific that needs a fresh touch from God? This little book that we're handing out to you is just a tool that you can use to pray. These are scriptural prayers to pray for the lost. And you can begin to pray, and we're going to be talking about this over the next several weeks, that you can pray and ask God to intervene in someone's life. You know, people don't get saved unless you pray. As much as we would like them to, as much as we want them to, as much as God wants them to, unless we do something, they will not come in. We are all commissioned to preach the good news. We are all commissioned to pray and to seek God's face. But if we don't do anything, nothing's going to get done. You are here today because someone reached out to you. You are here today because someone prayed, someone believed in you, someone spoke the word of truth to you, and you received Christ as your Lord and Savior. We have to be the light to this generation. God is not going to commission an angel or send someone. He's sending you. He's sending me. So we have to be that light. We all can reach one. I'm not asking you to get your entire neighborhood saved or everybody at your workplace saved, but you can reach one. And you can share the good news of the gospel. How can we do that? The first thing that we can do is pray. The first thing that we can do is pray. Are you praying for someone? You should be. Pray. Begin to pray. And as you begin to pray, God will give you even more to pray for that person. Maybe that person's struggling with addictions or sin. Or you can pray. You can be that intervening person that will help them break free. You can share. You can share your life. You can share your love. You can be a light. You can share good words with them. Encourage them. Tell them you're praying for them. Ask them if they need prayer. You can share from your life and your heart. And then you can give. You know, your giving often opens a door for people. Not only can you give of yourself, but you can give them a pie. You can give them a gift card and tell them, you know what, I've been praying for you. I just want to let you know I love you. God loves you. It's an opportunity to put action to your faith. That will make an impact on their life. You'll be surprised what a small gift can do to people. So over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about this. I'm going to be encouraging you to pray for your person or your family. Pray, give, and share. That's what this is about. You know, we're all called to be followers of Christ. Who are you impacting in your life? Wouldn't it be great to know that you're impacting at least one? It's a place to begin. So we're going to be talking more about this in greater detail. In your bulletin, you'll see a card in there. It talks about, it's the Harvest Pie Project commitment card. I just want you to be thinking this week about who it is that you're going to reach out to. Who it is that you're going to get a pie for, get a gift card for. You know, we thought the approximate cost of this gift will be about $25. Well, if you take that $25 and spread it over the next 6 or 7 weeks, it's not a whole lot. A couple dollars a week. Everybody can afford a couple dollars a week. We're not sure. And it's someone in your life. You're going to give this. We're going to buy them. We're going to wrap them. We're going to put them together. And then we're going to hand it to you. And you're going to take it to someone. Maybe someone in your family. Maybe somebody at the workplace. Maybe someone in your neighborhood. And you're going to have an opportunity to bless someone. You're going to have an opportunity to impact someone's life. But I want you to be thinking about who it is. And we're going to be collecting these cards so that we know how many pies to purchase and these types of things. And we're also going to be praying over these cards on a weekly basis. So take some time this week and really think about who it is. Ask the Lord who it is that you want to touch this year. And then we're going to be collecting these cards next week. So we encourage you to do that. We've got to make a difference. The hour that we live in is late. Jesus is coming back for a church. He's coming back, and he wants souls. Let's take a look there at Matthew. Let's just take a moment. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that it gives direction to our life. It encourages, it builds up, it edifies us. And Father, we ask you, Lord, give us understanding. Give us revelation knowledge this morning. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that your words will not return unto you a void, but it will accomplish that which you send it to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 28, verse 18, here we have Jesus speaking, and he said to them, saying to his disciples, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." God has commissioned each one of us to go into the world and to tell them about Jesus. I know when sometimes people read that scripture, they often feel the weight or the guilt or the shame that they haven't been doing that. And I don't believe that's the heart of God. God doesn't want you to feel guilty or shameful. He needs you to hear that as a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement that you and I, we're supposed to go out and preach the gospel. We're supposed to go out and share the good news of the gospel. It says to go into all the world. Well, we live in a world, don't we? And many of us live in, we all live within our own world. You're supposed to go into that world that you live in and share the good news of the gospel. God's heart on the subject of salvation is clear for all to see. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come into repentance." How many does God want? How many does he want? All of mankind. All of mankind. We need to ask ourselves the questions. Out of all the things that we do in this life, is there anything more important than someone's eternal well-being? Do we care about people? Do we care about others? Does it bother you that there might be people around you that will go to hell? You know, that's not a very popular subject, hell. But it's a reality. The scriptures tell us that hell is a literal place, a place of darkness, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the torment never ends, a place of eternal flames, where the agony goes on and on eternally, a gloomy dungeon, and eventually the lake of fire. A person without Jesus will spend eternity in hell. Think about eternity. Let's do it this way. Think of a bad day that you've had. And some days it just feels like that day will never end. Do you ever have one of those long, bad days? It just seems like it goes on and on and on. You can't wait to get to bed just to end that day. Now think of that in light of eternity. Having a really bad day. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever without end. That's what hell is. God never intended for any person to go to hell. Hell was created for the devil and the fallen angels. God never intended for mankind to go to hell. The Bible says that He desires that no man should perish. And God has made a way for everyone to be saved. God has made a way for everyone to be saved. No one has to go to hell. That's the good news. No one has to go to hell. Hell is a choice. You might say, well, who would choose that? People choose that every day. You go to hell because you don't believe in Jesus. That's what the Bible says. You go to hell because you don't believe in Jesus Christ. You don't go to hell because you're a mean person. You don't go to hell because you're a bad person. You go to hell because you reject the finished work of Jesus on the cross. This is why God's called us to preach the gospel. This is why God's called you to share the good news. What does preaching do for people? Why do we preach at all? Preaching persuades people's hearts. We persuade men of the truth of God's word. We need to tell them that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Tell them that God loves them and cares about them. Tell them that God wants to bless them and bring them into a good place. Tell them that God can help them. Preach the good news. You know, I believe that even as a church, we need to focus on the good news. There's some churches out there that preach the bad part. You know, if we only talk about hell and how much people are sinners and how awful people we are, you're missing the big picture. I find that people often know that they are a sinner without you pointing it out to them. The Bible says to preach the good news, the gospel. We are for God. We're not supposed to be preaching everything against. Well, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. And if you do that, you're going to burn. And if you do this, you're going to burn. And if you do that, you're an awful person. And that's not good news. That's reminding them of the bad news. My Bible says we overcome evil with good. We overcome the evil of sin with the goodness of God's forgiveness. And so we have to preach the good news of the gospel. The good news is that they don't have to go to hell. The good news is that God paid the price for their sins. The good news is that God loves them and cares about them. The good news is that God's not angry at them. That's the good news. That's what should be in our mouth. Not a word of condemnation. Not a word of shame and guilt. Not a word of hate and religion. It's the good news of the gospel that sets people free. So we have to do our part and share the good news. And you need to be reminded of it yourself. I came across an article I want to read to you. It says, a man once dreamed that he was in hell. When asked to give an account of what he had seen, if there were flames there, if there was suffering there, if there were wrecked and maligned creatures with whom he had to associate, if the place resounded with oaths of blasphemy, he said, yes, they were all there, but something far worse that I was compelled to face in my was my influence. I knew that I deserved punishment, for I had scorned and rejected Jesus Christ, but my sorest pain was to see what effect my life had been upon others. I truly think that that is the most agonizing aspect. That if we don't live our lives for Jesus Christ, and we affect the lives and spiritual destiny of others. I don't know about you, but I don't want to know anyone in hell. And over the years, I've had several experiences that have just shaken me to my core. I remember many years ago, I was the business manager for K Jewelers. When I was in Bible school, that's what I did. And then when we first started the church, I had transferred home and worked for Kay's. And there was a young girl there that I worked with. And she was the assistant manager. And we got along well. And we just, you know, she wasn't saved. She talked about going out and partying at night. And, you know, she didn't grow up in a house where she went to church or anything like that. And of course, we were pioneering the church, and she knew I was a pastor, and I would take time to share my faith with her. But I remember always being so busy at work and so overwhelmed with life at the time that I never really led her in a prayer that I knew that she was saved. I had said things to her and made her think I know I reached her to some degree. But I was never certain in my heart whether she was saved or not. And I think sometimes have you ever felt that way? You were a little nervous about, well, should we push this a little further or should we, those type of things. And so some time had passed and I started working for the church full time and a couple years had passed and I would go in now and then and say hello to the people I used to work with. And one time I went in, and I had asked for this particular girl who I had worked with, and they told me that she had passed away. She was like 31, and she had had a fluke heart condition that she wasn't even aware of, and she passed away quickly. And I thought to myself, did I miss an opportunity? I'm not 100% sure that she's saved. And you have an experience like that. You know, it can be life-changing. In those situations, I purposed that I would never miss another opportunity like that. You know, we never know when we're with people for the last time. And I don't want to be a fatalist or anything like that, that we shouldn't live in fear of, well, are you going to die tomorrow? But there's an urgency there. That if we have an opportunity to share the gospel, if we have an opportunity to reach out and cause salvation in the lives of others, and we should. We should. Because you don't know if you are the last Christian that they come into contact with. You don't know if it's the last opportunity for them. I had no way of knowing that this young woman was going to pass away. But now when I have those opportunities, I don't let them get away from me. I purpose to be faithful and committed, even if I'm embarrassed, even if I'm uncomfortable, even if I don't want to, I do it. Because I don't want to miss seeing that person in heaven. How about the people in your everyday life? Maybe you have close friends, relatives, brothers and sisters, parents, grandparents, nieces and nephews. Do they know Jesus? And what kind of influence are you being? I'm not saying the weight of the world falls squarely on your shoulders, but you have a responsibility, as do I, to be a light in this world. People are looking for light. People are looking for light. You won't have to be real preachy or you know, religious around people. They'll seek you out if there's something different about you. They'll see your love. They'll see the way you live. They'll see what God's doing in your life. And you'll be able to be a light to them. And take those opportunities when they come your way. Let's look at Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved." I love that verse. It says, whoever, meaning anybody at all, anyone at all that will call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Notice in that verse, it doesn't say those that join this particular church, those that tithe, those that can recite the first four books of the Bible. No, it says anyone who will call upon his name. That's the only requirement. That's the only requirement. For those who will call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Or how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." You know, people will not believe unless you go to them and preach the good news to them. If you don't go, who will? We can sit back and pray and pray and pray. Lord, get my family saved. Get my friends saved. Lord, please get them saved. Get them saved. Get them saved. Lord, please, please, please. Prayer alone will not finish the job. I know that doesn't sound religious, but prayer alone will not finish the job. Because if it did, Jesus would have done it. While Jesus was in the earth, he could have prayed that everybody gets saved, and he would have finished the job. But Jesus also went out and preached. He also went out and shared the good news, healed the sick, gave. He invested in the lives of people. And if he did it, you and I are going to have to do it. If we don't go out and preach the good news, who will? Who can God use? He looks to the church. God is looking to the church. And if you haven't noticed, we are it. We are the church. People say, well, you know, I'm just too busy. I have my own life, you know. I got a lot of things to do. I don't really have time for that kind of thing. You know, it's attitudes like this that you need to check your heart. Don't let your heart grow cold toward people. Just because you're saved and you're good with God, don't be so self-centered that you don't care about those around you who are not. You've forgotten what it's like to be lost. You've forgotten what it's like to live a life without God. Some of you are thankful that when you're in times of need that you can call upon Him and receive from Him. You've forgotten what it's like not to be able to do that. You need to remind yourself that we're here to be a blessing to other people. We're here to share the good news. We're here to be a light and help towards others. This is our purpose. This is our focus. We don't come to church just to get blessed. I mean, we get blessed, but we don't come just to, oh, Lord, meet my needs. It's all good. Oh, that was good worship this morning. I felt your spirit here. Glory to God. Oh, I feel good now. I can go home. It's great that you get a touch from God. It's great that you sense His presence in your life. It's great that He answers your prayers. It's great that He encourages your heart or that He gives you direction through His Word. But it doesn't stop there. He does all that so that you can then go out and be ready to help someone else. He meets your needs so that you can go out and help meet the needs of others. It's our purpose. It's our focus. We are here to reach people. People are the most important thing in life. They're above money. They're above status. They're above positions and careers and relationships. People are the most important thing in life. And if you don't believe that, you need to go and talk to God about it. Ask Him to warm up your heart towards people. We can see the example of Jesus over in Matthew, the 9th chapter, in verse 36. It says, "But when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to His disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest.'" It's an interesting thing here. Jesus said He saw, what did He see? He saw the multitude. And what did it do? It moved Him with compassion. You know, I think that if you'd look to the crowd around you, look to the people in your life, let your heart be stirred for them. It'll change your heart for people. Someone once said, take a slow walk through a crowd of people. It will change your heart for the lost. Sometimes when we talk about being a witness for Jesus, we can hear every excuse under the sun. Oh, I don't like to do that. Excuse me. I don't feel like people listen when I talk about Jesus. I don't desire to do that. I just don't feel like I can do that where I'm at in my life. You know, I work at a job, I can't do that. My family doesn't want to hear it. You can hear every excuse under the sun. But what will you say? What will you say when you stand before God? What excuse will you offer? Even worse, what will you say when you've discovered someone you know has died and gone to hell? Our goal as Christians should be to increase our influence. Increase our influence in people's lives. How are we going to do that? Well, the depth and the concern and love that you have for someone determines the magnitude of your influence. Let me say that again. The depth and the concern and the love that you have for someone determines the magnitude of your influence. In other words, the people that you invest your time in and your love in will be the people that you'll have the greatest influence over. So if you want to have influence with someone in someone's life, what do you need to do? Love them. Have concern for them. Pray for them. Talk to them, have a relationship with them. What does the Bible say regarding being Christ's disciples? We will be known by our what? That was weak. Be known by what? Love. That's right. We'll be known by our love. Your love and concern for people will be the driving force that will open the door for getting someone saved. If you'll just love people. Everybody can love somebody. Love people. Reach out to them, encourage them, pray for them, talk to them. It can start with someone you already love. Commit to praying for that person. Are you truly praying for their salvation? Are you being a godly example? Are you sharing your beliefs with them? You can win them by your love. Again, how many of you have an unsaved friend? Or have someone in your life that doesn't know the Lord? Can you love that person? Can you care for that person? It's a good place to start. Think about it this way. If every person in the church got one person saved, worldwide, the church would double in size. Talk about revival. Talk about the great harvest. And that's just every person winning one. Just one. I think sometimes we hear about salvation, preaching the gospel, and we just kind of leave it out there as something that pastor does, or something that we do on Sunday morning at church. It's got to be something personal that you take hold of. Is there one person in my life that I can begin to pray for? Is there one person in my life that I can just begin to shower them with love? One person. You can reach them. This is what Jesus was talking about. Go and make disciples. Jesus made disciples. What did he do? He spent time with them. He taught them. He cared for them. He ate with them. He fellowshiped with them. Again, you know, we hear a message on evangelism. We think it can be so overwhelming. What can I possibly do? Well, if you leave it there with that kind of thinking, you'll end up doing nothing. You'll end up doing nothing. But how many of you can talk to one friend? I think everybody can. How many of you can be loving to one person? Whether it's the person you work with, whether it's the postman that delivers your mail every week, or it's the bank teller that you go and talk to every week, do something. Do something. I truly believe that's what God is trying to get across to us, that we all have to do something. The Bible says that we are in the last days. And in the last days, wickedness will increase. Anybody agree with that statement? If you haven't noticed, the world is becoming a darker place. And you and I, we're called to hold out the light. And if we don't do it, who will? Sometimes we have this idea, well, you know, I'll just go to church and pray and it'll all work out. No, you need to be involved. You need to be doing your part. I need to be doing my part. And God is not requiring of you to do it all. Start with one. No matter what you do in life, you always have to take the first step. You always have to start with the first. And that's where we're at with God. You have to begin. You have to begin with one. I believe that God will do great things with that one. And if you win one, and I win one, and someone else wins one, it's going to have ripple effects in the kingdom. And like I said, in a few weeks, we're going to be doing this Harvest Pie project together. It's just a tool. It's just a tool to touch someone's life. Is there someone's life? Is $25 worth someone's eternity? A couple dollars a week? Is it worth someone's eternal well-being? I think it is. think it is? You know, we're not responsible whether people receive or not, but we're responsible to share, to make that impact. And when you do that, you can stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I did what you asked me. And hopefully that person that you got saved is standing right next to you. And you're smiling ear to ear. I can't think of anything more important in life than taking people to Jesus. You know, we take for granted who God is in our life. We say, we quote the scriptures, He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. If you don't know Him, you don't know that He's a help. By His stripes we are healed, 1 Peter 2:24. If you don't know Him as a healer, if you don't know Him at all, you don't know Him as your healer. The Bible says He's the comforter. He's the strengthener. He gives us instructions. He helps us. He guides us and leads us. He protects us. He watches over us. All these things that we know and we pray about our own lives and the people that we love. If you don't know Christ, you don't know all those things. And you don't have His assistance. What a gift we can give to someone by introducing them to Jesus. Purpose in your heart that you're going to be a person of influence. That you're going to find that one person, that one family, that one individual that you can make an impact. You're going to pray for them. You're going to share with them. You're going to love them. You're going to go out of your way to reach out to them. You don't, like I said, you don't have to be all preachy and hit them with your Bible. You can love them. You can encourage them. You can talk to them. Reach out to them. Pray for them. Tell them, hey, you know what? I'm praying for you. I know God's got good things for your life. I'm praying for you. That's not intimidating to say. That's not preachy. And for some people could use a little preach. You know what I mean by that? But purpose in your heart that you're going to be a person of influence. Be a person who fulfills the Great Commission. So this week I want you to take home your card and think about who it is. And next week I want you to bring it back and we're going to turn them in. We're going to start praying for these people. We're going to reach the lost for the kingdom of God. We're going to make a difference. It's not just let's give a food basket to some family. No, we're going to give them something greater. We're going to touch all kinds of people. I hope we have hundreds of pies going out of this place. Maybe you want to do two people. You can do two people. Get another card. We got them. Amen? Stand up. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this opportunity to hear Your word. And Father, we pray, Lord, as we begin to think about who You would have us to influence, Father, that You'd put that person on our heart and that we would find ways to reach out, that we would find ways to bless them, ways to share our faith, ways to give to them, ways to encourage them. And Lord, most of all, that we would be loving, that we would reach out with love and impact their life. Lord, it's not just about praying for the harvest. It's not just about, coming to church and doing our thing. It's about reaching souls. So Father, we ask You, Lord, just to begin to work in the hearts and lives of those that we love. Lord, we know that the hour is late. And Lord, we know that You desire that all men come into repentance, that all men would call upon Your name and receive eternal life. Father, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to remind you that after service, if you need prayer, we have people here that can pray with you. God bless you. We're going to go out with a song.